We are back in the studio once again with Love, Life, and Live, and I have the pleasure of sitting next to me, one of the highest upcoming, very pretty on the inside and out for all those male listeners, and that is, who do I have today?
Hi everyone, my name's Taylor. This is my first podcast.
But you have Yuri Tales. Tell us a little bit of why you started it. Why are you a storyteller?
It started out as a kid. I have not had the greatest upbringing. I'm sure there are plenty out there that have had much harder times or can relate to some of what I went through in my childhood. But since I couldn't escape my situation, I had to learn how to basically take myself out of it and make it better as a form of survival to where I didn't lose who I was as a person. So I got very into books and escapism and being able to kind of play out in a healthy way some of what was happening to me without going completely crazy.
What is some of the things about you that you'd like to share to us today? Like your achievements, the acknowledgments. You kind of did that a little bit with your upbringing, but kind of take us a little more into a story.
Well, with my upbringing, I also never really fit in anywhere. And there was a very big point in my life. I was probably about 13 years old, and I realized I'm never going to fit in with anyone. And I was trying to do everything I could to not fall into the social crowds. So I did everything I could to be different. I got bullied and beaten up quite a bit in school, actually.
Okay, so based on that, what did you do differently? Tell us.
I decided to do homeschooling and work for a living because I could do school online and actually did better doing that grade-wise and everything else. That way I could have a chance to work on my goals and work on myself as a person.
And how old were you?
It was the start of my second semester of 11th grade. I had finally talked to my mom and I was just like, look, I'm ready to emancipate. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be homeschooled. We need the money. I want to work. I want to do whatever I can to better myself because I was to a point where I was so miserable. There were many days that I didn't see the end of it. I couldn't see a future for myself. And there was a point that I came across where I was like, this isn't who I am. My story cannot end like this.
So what was your light bulb moment? What was the quote that kept you going, that got you through those times that you'd like to share with those out there that feel the same way?
That's actually a great one. I fell in love with Japanese culture and language at a young age, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But the quote that, it's actually a proverb, and it's Kimi ga kimi jishin ro shinjiru nai desa dare ga kimi no koto wo shinjiru no, which means if you don't believe in yourself, who will believe in you?
Oh, I love that. Now, I'm going to be honest and share with the audience. I don't even think I'm saying it in Japanese, but
I butchered that.
But I would definitely say it. I mean, I believe that. I totally think that you create your own stories. I think you can have the worst of the worst happen to you, and it's all about your ending. Is that kind of what you think?
Yes. And I've always believed that I had the power to change things. I did have a light bulb moment where I figured out if I changed certain things and I got really stubborn and headstrong and did it because I wanted it for me for the better, I could manifest it.
So is that what you would share with teenagers now? Because, you know, there's 13.8 million depressed people out there, and there's 3.1 that are teenagers between the ages of 12 and 17. What would you advise them? Why would they turn into your YouTube channel?
Well, first off, I would say set small goals for yourself. You can go all out, but one of the things that had gotten me through many times was I would be like, okay, well, I can't go down the rabbit hole or whatever you'd like to call it until I could do this. So my best friends and I came up with systems where we would go see each other and travel, which was one of the greatest opportunities I had. My mother at the time, because I was paying my own way, I was paying her rent at 17, partial rent, as well as my own car and everything else, working while maintaining, paying all for my homeschooling. I was with Penn Foster, and getting to go on trips. So I went to Washington, D.C. to see my best friend, for my first round of professional cosplaying. And that was a big goal of mine. It was something I'd always wanted to do, and it was also probably the kickstart of what got me into the thing of, if I can just do this, if I can do this, if I can keep it going for this, then I can say that I've made it, and then I can make the decision to do whatever. But then whenever I got to that moment of, oh, I can do whatever now that I've done this, it's like, no, that was fun. I need to make another goal like that, another small goal. And it's the small wins that are going to get you through to that big end game.
So you would tell them, make it small and go big.
Yes. Always have that big thing in the back of your mind of what you really want. And that will change with age. You will not be the same person in high school as you are once you're out.
Wow, I can honestly say that for decades.
It is true. That is the one thing that I wish I had listened to all of the adults around me saying at those times. Because they're right. I've changed what I want to do and who I want to be so many times over the years, and I don't have it all together. But I know, at least for me, I'm content with where I'm at, but I still want to push myself to go further.
So basically, they need to follow you because as you grow, you're going to be helping your audience grow through storytelling.
I would hope so. That is definitely a goal and what I would want to do. I've always wanted to make people feel better, especially if they felt anything like how I felt. Whenever you feel that and you feel the magnitude of it, a lot of people don't understand. It's a constant struggle. And if you ever feel that way, all you want to do is take that pain from somebody else.
And by taking that pain, a lot of us, have you found, we take it on.
You do. So you do have to figure out a way to do it without destroying yourself. And I think that that's why this platform would be great for me, because it would be able to connect with so many people that are in a spot where I have been, and maybe be able to help be like, I know that everyone around you is going to tell you it's going to get better, and you don't believe it in the moment, and it's so hard to do. But if you see people doing it that can relate to you, that have empathy, true empathy for you, that's one more person that's going to be able to hopefully make a difference in your life.
So you believe in mentors?
Yes.
And how does a person go about finding a mentor? Would you say it's in your YouTube channel?
I would hope so.
I know so.
Well, thank you for having that vote of confidence in me.
Oh, I've watched you. You are a go-getter. You are somebody that has taken something small and made it into a big dream, and you're not afraid to go after that dream, just like you said just back there. Your audience, they need to follow you. And when you do your platform, I would assume that you're going to do it like you do life. And that is, this is not going to be something that you want to just be a monologue. You would like it to be an exchange with your viewers. Is that correct?
You're very correct on that, yes.
So you will be very good about making comments to their comments and kind of interacting with your audience?
Oh, yes. I do believe heavily in engaging with your audience. I want to know what I could improve on, what would resonate better with some of you, because everyone's going to learn differently. No two people are the exact same. No experience is the same. And even with a mentor, they can only help so much, especially if they don't know what they need to say. Because, I mean, I could spew thousands of stories all day long. I could tell you my personal, how I've viewed it and my experiences. And that can only help you so far. But if it can help one person, or if it can give them the courage to leave on a comment, hey, you know, some of what you said resonated with me. Would you be willing to talk about my situation and maybe help me figure things out? Even if it's just as a soundboard to help them figure it out versus giving them advice after advice. Sometimes lecturing is good, and that is great, what mentors are good for. But they also need to know when to take a step back and really listen to the person, because some people need that soundboard and then they need the commentary at the end, to where it'll actually connect and resonate with them in a way that can be positive for them.
Well, Taylor, you kind of stole my thunder with Love, Life, and Live. That's kind of our platform, is it not?
It is.
Our goal is exactly like yours. It's to give our audience a place where they can go, where they can find people like you, listen to our podcast, that we believe in transformation. And in transformation, it's kind of like we believe everybody is like a butterfly. You know, there's seasons in your life where you're a cocoon and you hibernate. Do you find that to be so?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, as you do those small steps, you become this huge, beautiful butterfly that just starts flying. And that's what I see your career doing. I see you in the cocoon stage, and you have to admit it's kind of fun that your audience is starting now with you, because as you progress, you know you're going to fly. So just out of curiosity, are you going to be like a Japanese butterfly?
One can hope. I'm not quite sure I go that far.
Do they have a name for a butterfly in Japanese?
I'm sure they do, but I'm still not fluent in the language, so without looking it up, I could not tell you.
But I could give you a homework assignment.
You definitely could.
And we could come back and do another podcast on Japanese words and customs and how you that butterfly and what that name is. Can I give you that little bit of a shout-out and challenge that that's what you're going to do? You're going to come back and tell me what butterfly stands for?
Oh, definitely.
But if you had to pick a color of a butterfly, what would it be?
Probably blue.
Really? It's funny you should say that. I was up in Canada. My favorite place is a butterfly sanctuary, probably why I have Love, Life, and Live. And my favorite color, because I didn't know this, but okay, viewers out there, I know, I honestly believe butterflies last forever. And I purposely did not go in that vase to hear those stories, because I didn't want to know any different. And one of those little, what do you call those people that host it, you know, that they came up to me and I said, I come here 3 times a year and the only butterfly I see the same is this. Oh, it's beautiful. It's like huge and it's blue, and but on the backside of it, it's black. So oh, wow. You only see this iridescent blues when it opens up and flies. So how much is that life? Because that's why I got fascinated by it. Because to me, when I look at that butterfly and I see just the black, it reminds me that life can be dark. And then all you have to do is spread those wings and it takes off and flies, and it's the most beautiful color ever. How much of that is you?
That's a hard question. Because I would definitely want to say that that resonates with me, but playing the devil's advocate like I normally do,
Go ahead, share with us. What would you see?
I don't know. I feel like I would always be that black butterfly on both sides at times. Not because, you know, not because I'm all dark humor and self-depression and things like that. But realistically speaking, I'm at the transformation stage where I am full black butterfly. I'm not that blue yet. And it's going to take several transformations for me to get there.
See, that's what I love about you. And that's what I think your audience is going to love about you. You're real. And you don't take shortcuts. And you're not going to allow your audience to take a shortcut.
No. Shortcuts are the closest thing to failure. If you're taking a shortcut, you're not wanting to really do it for you. You're wanting it because either society's telling it to you, or your parents, or someone else is trying to force a belief on you, or it's because you have this idea in your head. Maybe it's the voices in your head telling you, hey, you got to do this because of this, this, and this. It's not actually what you want. So you're going to fail. If you want something short and fast, that's not how the world works.
No, it really isn't.
Especially if it's going to be good for you. Something short and fast is, you know, say for instance, you can go on the dark web right now and get a hold of things. I'm not saying what. I've never been on the dark web. But a lot of people grew up with MySpace and torrents before the government shut them down, things like that. That was just pirating movies. You can get a lot more than that on the dark web. And that's a good way to fast money. But it'll also put you in prison.
And you don't really totally recommend that to your audience?
Definitely not. That is what not to do. Unless, you know,
so tell them what to do that would keep them out of that dark side while they're in that transformational stage.
There are other ways to do it. There's actually, weirdly enough, there's this guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, runs a podcast. I've listened to some of his stuff. He's an entrepreneur. He makes a lot of money. He said one of the best places to start would be Facebook Marketplace. that would be a great way to get that short and fast money if money is your goal, and do it legally and give you a basis of being like, hey, how can I apply this to life? How can I apply this to start my goals, start the tools and foundations I need to get where I want to be in this moment that would better myself?
So what you're really, and this is how, what you're going to do on your journey, is it not? You're going to kind of show them a dark side, but then go to a light side and tell them how they can do it and so that they don't have to give in to those temptations. Because all of us make bad decisions at some point in our life.
Yes.
And I challenge anyone out there that has never done that. Maybe they should go back in the mirror and look. Because I don't know anyone. I mean, I honestly could you imagine being in those days where somebody would stone you because of something that you've done wrong? Would you be able to be that first person that would pick up that stone because you were so right that you could do it? Because I couldn't.
No, and unfortunately, the world is going to give you more negative than it does positive. That's just how it is. And granted, I'm still in the learning stage, so saying I had to learn differently isn't quite correct. I'm still learning differently, but I had to make the choice to change. I've probably heard, especially from my family, recently tell me that, you know, while they admire me wanting to go for my dreams, and they admire what I'm doing here, they're like, you got to know realistically this may not work out for you. And they're right.
Yeah.
But what if it does?
I'm going to take it one step further, because with Love, Laugh, and Live, we ask that you stretch yourself to the highest level. And you can play it safe, but that doesn't mean you're going to win either.
Exactly.
You have to take
a risk for what you want.
But you could literally go and play it safe. A person could do everything that they think that they're supposed to do, and it still wouldn't make them happy.
No. Anyone that truly wants something for themselves is never going to be satisfied, because you aren't giving it your full 110%.
And then, just out of curiosity, how much do you believe that faith has to come into that?
I would like to consider myself spiritual. I did have a Christian upbringing. I have had my trials with God. And currently we don't have the greatest relationship that we should, but I've also learned from other things. That's going to have to play a big part in it. A lot of people may not be able to do that because they don't have faith in themselves either. Until you believe in yourself, you can't believe that some external force out there is going to help you solve your problems.
Okay, I would have to disagree. But only because of the fact, and that's why I love that we batter back and forth. And I would disagree only because of the miracles that I've seen since I was a child. There's no explanation for them other than a supernatural force and a supernatural creator. But I understand where you're coming from. But that's what I was kind of leading into that question. Do you believe that people are led? Because here we are in a podcast with, you're not going to rock. I'm going to allow you to be spiritually where you're at. But at the same time, you're not going to rock my spirituality. And you're not going to change what love, life, and live stands for.
Very true.
I'm going to sit here and say, he brought us together. Because there's something that I need to learn from you. And there's something that I'm trusting that will come through me to you. So I really honestly think that it's co-creating on a higher spiritual level than even any of us can imagine or understand. And I think being open and sharing is what's going to make people have that, to where everybody's a piece of a puzzle that makes a masterpiece of a day.
That's actually very well put.
That's our slogan here. We are all pieces of a puzzle to make a masterpiece of a day. On closing of this session, what would you like to tell us about yourself that we haven't gotten out? What are you so passionate about that you can't wait to be back in this sound booth on another podcast to tell us about? I'm holding you to the butterfly though, but anything else?
Should I tell my story of how I made it to Tokyo on my own then, or stay it now?
You could say, okay, how about we give them, like, a teaser, and you don't tell the whole story, and then we end with that we're definitely going to have Yuri Tales back to tell us a little bit more of, to get to know you so that they'll know they want to follow you, and to encourage them to have, this is a foundation, this is a new beginning. So why not be at the beginning stages of somebody that's going to influence millions?
All right, you're going to have to stop me storytelling then or tell me to wrap it up because I'm really terrible about giving the synopsis. I'm always bad about wanting to give the whole story right then.
Well, give us a teaser. Give us one thing that happened on that trip where you had to literally fund it yourself.
Well, again, at the time I was going to school and paying for my school, paying with all the bills that I currently had, as well as having to come up with, I think, after I got travel money and stuff, because something inevitably always happens to me whenever I travel, I'll lose my luggage, I'll have to stay extra nights. And my friends and I have a big joke about that. But the whole trip, the base cost was $5,000. And then I took about $2,000 to spend. Because I figured, you know, Tokyo is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And how old were you?
I was 17.
A 17-year-old?
I got the offer whenever I was 16.
So a 17-year-old that is homeschooled.
Working. Close to full-time, as is. I was just under full-time.
And helping out with the bills at home. Mm-hmm. Literally came up with $7,000.
Yes, and my parents never paid for any of it. They didn't have the funds, and even if they did, my mom taught me very early on, if you want to borrow money from me, you're going to pay it back with interest, like a bank.
Wow.
That was the biggest lesson that she taught me. Like, I was very grateful for that lesson, because it was like, she kept saying, realistically, you can't do that. I don't understand how you're going to do this, honey. I know that you want it. I know that you really want it. But how can you do it?
But you did do it.
Yes.
I think we're going to leave the audience with that teaser because if nothing else, in the comments below, and share what you think of a 17-year-old that literally
paid not their way on this trip.
And you didn't, I'm assuming that you still took care of the bills before and after that you went also. I'm assuming this is part of the story that we're going
to
hear.
Oh, yeah. And there was also a time where I had to have ankle surgery a couple months into it before I had to go that almost threw a wrench in things.
So that was more money.
Yes.
Oh, wow. This is going to... I'm looking forward to having you back and hearing about Yuri Tales and how you did that.
Yeah, it's a story I like telling.
Awesome. Well, I'll tell you what. Stay tuned. And we will have you back in the booth, and I just want to tell you that it's been an honor. It's been fun. I love having my guests that we can actually disagree to agree. Or is that agree to disagree?
Okay,
I kind of like it the other way, disagree to agree.
I actually like how that sounds a little bit better, too.
Well, it's more real, isn't it? Because you disagree, and then you disagree, and then we agree to agree. It's called respect. I think that makes more sense. So anyone out there that thinks that more sense, Taylor and I says it does. So, hey, give us a shout out. Let us know and stay tuned. And we will go ahead and put up a notification when we upload our next one. So stay tuned and till the next time.
Have a good night, guys.